Well, welcome here this morning. I get the privilege to continue this series that we're in, this expecting series, and I'm expecting God to do a lot in our lives during this series and as we get into the Christmas Eve service. And so I'd encourage you to stick it out and stay with us and just experience what God would have for all of us through this. And as I was thinking about the message today, I was reminded of some years ago. For those who don't know, I used to, a ministry I was involved in was at a Bible school out in Wisconsin, and one of the privileges, one of the ministries I got to do was go drink some coffee with some single guys. It was way more than drinking coffee. That was a highlight, but it was really just sitting down with people and talking about life. Where are you at? How are things going? You know, what's going on with me? I would share my life with them. They would share their life. It was just this back and forth thing. And, you know, it's when you sit down with people, right, we never really know what's going to come out, what we're going to talk about. You know, there wasn't really an agenda. It was just talking about life. And so there were times where we would, you know, just be talking along, and as I'm talking, I'm finding out there's something really hard going on in this person's life, something difficult, an unplanned situation, an unplanned event, circumstances that they are just not comfortable with, stuff that they did not ever expect was going to be in their life. And it was causing doubts of God's goodness and God's faithfulness, doubts of God's love for them. And then with other people I'd sit with, and they're having hard things go on in their life too, and yet they are running, desperately running toward God with the same things going on in their lives. And today I want to just kind of talk about what makes some of us seek God's care. What makes some of us seek God's love, God's provision, God's power? Why do we ask God to heal the broken? Why do we ask God to step into our mess and fix the situation? Where does that come from? What motivates each one of us to approach the throne of grace? What drives us to God to ask Him for answers? What is it that gives us peace when we go to our great Father? And today, as we as we're in this series, I'm hoping that we will discover these answers together. And as we discover them, we'll also be encouraged and strengthened to continue to run after God, to depend on Him, to look to Him for all that He has promised us. You know, Genesis 1 and 2, when you look into Genesis 1 and 2, what we discover that God has made everything. By the breath of His mouth, He made everything. Everything we know. And then, He's made the universe and the planet, and He's made the plants, the trees, the animals, all that kind of stuff. And then He makes man in His image. And we were supposed to live in this glorious environment, walking around with God, enjoying Him on a day-to-day basis, listening to Him, working with Him. Genesis chapter 3, as Pastor Mike talked about last week, man, there is all of a sudden in Genesis chapter 3, we are introduced to forces that are against our very lives. And we're introduced to why we live in and feel like this world is always against us. And these hard things happen, and there's loss and there's suffering. These things weren't God's original design. But Genesis 3 tells us why that's happened. Genesis 6 goes on, and in Genesis 6 we find man still just fully engulfed in sin. It actually says in Genesis 6 that every thought and intent of the heart of man was evil continually. There was nothing good going on. Sin had been reigning on this planet and in human hearts for hundreds of years at this point. And we were up to no good We were not listening to God. We were choosing sin. We were choosing to walk away from the God in whose image we were created. Then you get into Genesis 11. And in Genesis 11, God says to mankind, he says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And mankind says, I don't think so. We're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to build this city called Babel. And in this city called Babel, we're going to build this tower and make a name for ourselves. So God, being God, says, no, I want you to go around the world. I want you to inhabit every place on this planet. So he confuses the languages. He gives new language to people, and he separates people and puts them all over the planet as a punishment. And we know languages are tough. They're all over. There's all kinds of languages around this world now, and that's because of this event, because man didn't do what God asked us to do. So here we are, mankind, in this situation we didn't plan. We were trying to build a city. We were trying to build a tower. We were trying to make a name for ourselves, glorify ourselves and not glorify God. And so God separates mankind all over the planet. And you can only imagine waking up in the middle of a jungle when you were living more in a desert area before. How do I live here? What am I doing here? How did I get here? Unplanned event in your life. Sit down with coffee and somebody else to tell them about your life. Yeah, all of a sudden, man, I'm in this jungle. I don't even know how to live here. It's crazy, unexpected events going on. And yet in Genesis chapter 12, which if you have your Bible, I want to start here, because Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, shows God once again reaching out to us, to mankind, with a promised blessing. Now, he had already given this blessing, as Pastor Mike talked about last week, Genesis 3:15, that God would send a deliverer, someone to fix our problem of sin, our problem of separation from our Creator. So Genesis 12, 1 to 3 says this. It'll be up here on the screen in a minute, I'm sure. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all the peoples or families on the earth will be blessed through you. See, God was talking in Genesis 11. He's talking to mankind as a whole. And as a whole, we said, no. So God picks two people, a couple, Abraham and Sarah. They were already up in age. At this point, they were somewhere probably in their 80s. And God says, from you, I am going to make a great nation, and everybody on the earth will be blessed. Well, here's some things that were going on in Abraham's and Sarah's life at this time. So Abraham and Sarah were living with Abraham's father, and Abraham's father said, hey, we're going to move from where we are, and we're going to move to a whole new land. And they had just done that. They had made this trek across this desert and mountain areas, and now Abraham and Sarah find themselves living in a new land, a new area. They've got to find new pasture land for the animals and all kinds of stuff going on. Change. And in the midst of that, Abraham's father dies. An unexpected event, a circumstance in which he had no control, something that Abraham would not have planned. And so now he finds himself in this land he doesn't even know. And God says, hey, I want you to pick up your family again and move to a land that I'm not even going to tell you where it is yet. Just follow me. And oh, by the way, I'm going to make you a great nation, multiple descendants. There was a problem with that statement, too, in Abraham and Sarah's life. They had no kids. They'd been trying, but she couldn't get pregnant. And yet God said, I'm going to bless you with a child. I'm going to bless you with children, with descendants. You will be a great nation. God's promised blessing. God promised another thing too that was huge. God said that through you, Abraham, I will bless every family on planet Earth. So way back in history, while Abraham was alive, God blessed you. And God blessed me. God promised a blessing to every family on the planet. We all know what the definition of promise is, right? It's to undertake or to declare that something's going to happen. Right? We've all made promises. Have you ever thought of what the definition, the biblical definition is for blessing? The biblical definition for blessing is to give or to receive something of benefit, like an inheritance or a gift, something tangible, something that you could hold on to. And here God is declaring to Abraham that I am going to give you something tangible. I'm going to give you an inheritance. And that inheritance isn't just for you, but it's for every person to ever live on this planet. Us, you and me, here today. Everybody outside these walls, at this point in history, God is promising a blessing for each one of us. It's huge. And as you think about promises, have you ever broken a promise? Or let's make it easier, right? Has anybody ever broke a promise to you? Have you ever thought about why we break promises? We break promises sometimes because we have all good intention to keep our promise, but something in life, an unexpected event, happens and we're not able to keep that promise and we break it. Sometimes we make a promise and we do it because we want that person to feel good. We want them to be happy and we may have still good intentions, but we kind of know we can't really keep that promise. Sometimes we may make promises just because we want people to like us. Sort of that man-pleasing thing, like, yeah, I'll do that for you. And sometimes our yes is actually a no. But we also have to think about this, like, we don't know if we can keep a promise for sure or not, do we? Do you know if you'll be here on this earth tomorrow? No, we don't. We don't know the events that are going to happen. We can't control anything like that. This is where God is so different than us. When our good Father says, I will, when he makes a promise, there is no one greater than him. There is no circumstance that catches him off guard. There is no event that's going to say, oops, where he's going to say, oops, I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. See, God is so different than us that when he says, I'm going to promise you a blessing, he can keep it. No matter what. No matter if people try to not let it happen, whether people agree or disagree with what God has promised, God, when God says something, he does what he says. And so here with Abraham, he's promised an I will. I will bless you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless every family on the planet because of you. So Genesis 17:6, God again gives this promise. He gives it to Sarah and to Abraham, a promise of a son. And this is what God says to Abraham. He says, I will bless Sarah and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. When this son is born, they name him Isaac. Abraham is 100 years old. He waited like 20 years for this baby to be born. But the baby came. And not only did this promised son came, but this promise to bless the entire world continued. This promised blessing that God had said he had for everybody. So after Isaac, this promised son is born, God actually does something very strange. He says, Abraham, I want you to take this son of yours, and I want you to take him up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to kill him. Sacrifice him. Unexpected event. A circumstance which he couldn't have planned. One he could, Abraham couldn't have imagined in his head would ever have happened. God, you promised us a son, and here he is. But remember the entire promise. You will have a son. You will have descendants as much as the stars in the sky. You will be a nation. And from you, every family on the earth will be blessed. So Abraham takes his son up onto the mountain. And as Abraham, every muscle in his body is tense. He's about to sacrifice his son. The muscles are about to fire off. He's about to move his hand, and God says, Abraham, Abraham, don't touch your son. Abraham looks over, and there's a ram caught in a bush. God provides for Abraham a substitute for Isaac. See, in the book of Hebrews, it says that Abraham never wavered in his faith. He even believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. What would have given Abraham that idea? You will have many descendants. From this one son, you'll have many descendants, and you will be a nation, and the whole world will be blessed because of you. So Abraham, here he is, he's knowing that God has made this promise, and he's willing to trust God. No matter what, he's willing to trust God, that God's promise is true and right and good, and God is loving and faithful. Genesis 6, people said, no, we don't trust God. Genesis 11, no, God, we're not going to spread around. Genesis 17, Abraham says, yes, God, I'm going to trust you. And God in his love and his faithfulness supplies a ram so that Isaac could live and the promise continue to go on. Imagine living our lives like that. Living our lives based on the promises of God. Think about it for a minute. What drives us to the Lord? What drives us to pray, to go before the throne of God? See, Abraham knew his God. He chose to believe God's word, God's promised blessing, instead of rebelling and sinning against God. Do I have that same confidence? Do I live that same way? Do we live that same way? We have the word of God. We have his promises. Well, God will go on because he knows mankind, and he knows how fickle we are, how quickly we forget. He goes into Genesis 26:24, and he says this to Isaac. He says, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you, and I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. This promise is continued on. God is going to promise, make this promise out loud to Abraham, to Abraham's son, to Abraham's grandson, and then to the most famous Jewish king. To Jacob, Abraham's grandson, God says this in Genesis 28:13-14. He says, There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, many. And they will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. All the earth will be blessed through you and through your offspring. So once again, this promise is made. It's declared by God, the one who keeps his promises, the only one who can. Say, I will, and actually do it. So we fast forward a few hundred years, and Israel is now a nation. They've gone through about 400 and some years of trouble in Egypt. They come out as a nation, and now they have a king, King David, their most famous king. And to this king, God is going to promise that the kingdom in which he reigns will last forever. In 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 14, it says this. Again, God promising this blessing over and over to Abraham's family. He says, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you. You shall come, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. This young nation knows what to expect from their promise-fulfilling, faithful God. And could you imagine how King David felt? He's dying. What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to this great nation of yours, God? And God fills him in. And he tells him, hey, this blessing, this promise that I gave back to your great, 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 grandfather Abraham is continued through you. And not only is it continued through you, but I am stepping it up a little bit. Like I said to Sarah, kings will come from you. Your kingdom will be established through a son forever. God making this promise. How can a promise like that be made? But God had already promised a son, and Isaac came. God had already promised that through Isaac there would be multiple people, descendants. And Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. And from Jacob is 12 more sons. And from them 12, from those 12 sons, there are multitudes of people, millions of people. So they've seen God's promise of one son, God's promise of many descendants, men and women. God promised Jacob that they would all live in a land as a nation. David, King David, grew up in that land that God promised. Is God faithful? Yeah. Can God keep his promises? Absolutely. So King David, growing up in this land, knowing his God, believes him. So now God has made this promise to David that his descendant would forever reign on a throne. God promises that the nation of Israel and makes this promise to the nation of Israel and that this nation is going to continue to bless the world. The whole world, one nation from one nation. And there's another man who grew up in the promised land. His name is Paul. He was appointed an apostle by God. He's in the New Testament. And I want to read to you what he says about this promise. Galatians 3:16 says this. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say into seeds, plural, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. He goes on in Galatians 4, he says this, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And then in Galatians 3:8, he says this, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, the nations, every family on this planet by faith and announce the gospel to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed through you. See, this promised blessing that all the nations, all the people, every family would be blessed is answered in Jesus Christ. This promised blessing that God had promised from the beginning is the one whose birth we're about to celebrate in a couple weeks. The Bible says that this promised blessing made in Abraham was Jesus, God's son. And you know this verse, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but by him to save the world. The promise, blessing that God promised so far back in history has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Completely fulfilled. But God, knowing our hearts and knowing how quickly we forget, reminds us one more time in Revelation 5, 9 and 10. It says this, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy, talking of Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you made them a kingdom, just like you promised, and a priest to serve God, and they will reign on the earth. Is God, I'll just say it, God is faithful. God is loving. We see it through history. We watch his faithfulness. He promised a blessing to Abraham, this benefit, this inheritance, this gift of a son. And through that son, he promised a blessing to you, to me, to every family on this planet. God alone is the one who keeps promises, keeps all his promises. And going back to our first questions, our first thoughts, you know, as I would sit in front of people or sit down with people and we would talk and we'd find, you know, finding out what's going on in our lives, and everything would come back to one thing. Is God faithful? Is God good? Is God loving? In the difficult times that we have in life, it's easy for us to forget, to get overwhelmed by our circumstances, and to forget who our God is. Thousands of years he kept his promise, and at the right time, Jesus was born of a woman. That sounds just like Genesis 3:15. The seed of a woman will crush the head of Satan. God's promised blessing. So what drives us to the throne room of God? What is it that motivates us to look to him for answers? What is it that gives us peace when we call out to our great Father? What's the answer to this question? What's the encouragement? What's the thing that's going to strengthen us? The answer is Jesus Christ, period. He is the answer. He is the promised blessing of God. And like Abraham chose to believe, so we seek our Father's love. We seek his care. We seek his power. We seek his provision. We seek him to fix the wrong. We seek him to heal the broken. our loving, faithful Father gave us a promised blessing, his one and only Son, to die on a cross for us. See, it's God himself who drives us to his throne room through his Son. It's God himself who motivates us to look to him for answers. It's God himself who gives us his peace as we pray to him. Jesus is the promised blessing that God had promised back to Abraham. Scripture says so. God is faithful. God is love. And I want to speak this to someone, especially today. God keeps his promises. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in our lives, God is faithful. God is love. God's promised to bless you and me, and he's done it in his Son, Jesus Christ. I have a question for someone in here. Have you received that blessing? See, Scripture also says in Romans 5, it says that at the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, the ones who chose to sin apart from God. We didn't want to listen to him. And yet God is loving. God is faithful. And in Romans 4, 3, it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. In other words, he was made right with God by simply believing God's truth about Jesus Christ. So I hope you've made and received this blessing that God has continued throughout history and perfected on Christmas Day when Jesus was born. And I hope this Christmas season, as we remember Christmas and as we look into a manger and we see a baby, we see God being faithful. We see God being loving. I hope that's what we see when we look into the manger. And let me just pray for us as the worship team comes up. Father God, we are so thankful that we can be confident in you. No matter what's going on in our lives, God, you are faithful, you are loving, you are true, and you've proven it by this promise, blessing that you've brought throughout human history. God, I thank you for this season that reminds us of this blessing, that reminds us of your Son, that reminds us of your love for all mankind. You have blessed the entire world. Father, I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.